Thank you, my brother, Brother Webster. Appreciate it. Good friend in the gospel and very sincere in the faith. Thank you. And I thank you, Southland, for having me, being able to speak to you. Today is never something that I take for granted, as Brother Webster said in his prayer. We just never know when it's our time and our call to answer. So I just thank God for the opportunity, any opportunity I have to spread some seed, whether it's those I'm speaking to who have heard the gospel, obeyed the gospel, and are living in the gospel, or those who may be online listening on the highways and byways, maybe even. Hopefully, I'm saying something today that will, I'm confident that something I say will encourage you, uplift you, keep you on the straight and narrow, and most importantly, your relationship with God continue to grow through this. So without further ado, I played with the title a little bit after I gave it to Brother Webster, but it's got the same meaning. I think this one's just probably a little easier to understand. And it reminds me of something. Do you guys remember there was an interesting saying, the game is not to be, I'm sorry, the game is to be sold, not to be told. Some of you might have heard that before. The game is not, it is not to be told, but it is to be sold. And when they're talking about that, they're talking about the game, like the game of the streets, the game of hustling, the game of, the come up. And I think most of you guys can understand this, because sometimes when you're in the workplace, you were maybe new to an environment, and you are looking to get as much as you can. You are a sponge trying to absorb as much as you can. And maybe someone is placed right above you to show you, the ropes. And sometimes we get this idea where we have some secrets that we ought to hold in, because the person coming may be a threat to our position, may be a threat because they may know your secret recipe. They may know how you do things. So you want to keep it to yourself because you want to be of value, And I'm not saying you, but I'm just saying we come into contact with that kind of thing in the real world, where oftentimes people don't want to give some of the things that maybe they have picked up along the way. So with that, I changed the title. I changed it to make it about what we're going to talk about today. And that is, the pattern is to be shown, not just to be told. All right. The pattern is to be shown, not just told. And I think you guys already understand where I'm going with this. All right. So we'll just get on into it. But hopefully you guys follow along with me, because I don't want to move too fast, but I always feel like I have more material than time. So let's see. All right. So first, we're going to talk about the desire to disciple, because when we're talking about taking someone under your wing, showing them the ropes, that's really what this lesson is about. Right? Mentoring, discipleship. And we're going to look at Paul's desire to disciple. We're going to look at how Paul did things like the Lord did it. All right. So Paul was big on discipleship. He was big on mentorship, and he was big on it through example and pattern, just as the Lord was to his subjects. All right, so he got it from the Lord, and Paul did the same thing. Two of whom Paul closely mentored in the gospel we know are Timothy and Titus. All right, and you can read about them. He speaks the same way about both of these individuals. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and 2, he calls Timothy his true child in the faith. And the same thing in Titus chapter 1, verse 4. He calls him my true child in the common faith. So Paul was writing to Timothy, he was writing to Titus, and our focus will be on the words Paul penned to concerning the former, all right? So we're going to talk more so specifically about Timothy, because a lot of what you read in Titus and Timothy, a lot of it is being said the same way, but Titus is more condensed. Obviously, it's one letter. We don't have two letters written to Titus like we do Timothy. But we're going to look at these words, and we're going to get something, see what we can glean from this, what God has for us today, all right? So let's look at Paul's desire to disciple. All right, let's look at his example. So he was a pioneering leader. We know he recruited young Timothy and built on the foundation that was laid by his young mother. You guys know Eunice and Chloe. Well, he learned from them the basics of the scriptures when he grew up. So we definitely understand that women were a big part of his life. If it wasn't for the woman in his life, well, his dad was a Greek. So the women in his life were Jews. And they taught him early, brought him up early in the scriptures. So they did their part. But we know as you grow, other people come into your life. So Paul enlisted him. He enlisted Timothy as a fellow traveler, and he tutored him in the faith. And Paul guided him in his first major assignment. And that is what you'll read later on, the multi-ethnic startup of that church, that congregation at Ephesus. So we'll read these two scriptures that talk a little bit about Paul's relationship, or at least how he viewed Timothy. All right. First is Acts chapter 16, 1-3. So Paul had the desire to take with, all right? Well, look at this. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra, now I underline that for a purpose because you're going to see that later. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him, that is Timothy. Now, Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. So he circumcised him because the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. So Paul did not circumcise Timothy because he felt it was necessary to be a Christian. You had to be circumcised. He did it because he was becoming all things to all men to save some. All right. He knew how people viewed it, and he was not going to put off anybody if he can all possibly can. So he knew how the Jews viewed circumcision. Even though he taught that it did not mean much, but when you're going to new places, when you're going on a journey and you are, you know, a missionary, you don't want to come in throwing people off with easy things that they can stop hearing you from. So he at least knew that everybody knew that his father was a Greek. So he wanted to at least show and demonstrate that he is a believer, right, in the Holy Scriptures. And he at least followed them at that time. Now, the believers at Lystra and Iconium, all right, like I said, that's something we're going to talk about a little later, but that's where Timothy was from. He's from that area, all right? So he had a good rapport already. Why? Well, because the work that his parents did, the work that his mother and his grandmother did in him, it strove with him. It worked with him throughout his life so that the people spoke well of him. But Paul wanted to take him along on this journey. So what I'm looking at here is his desire. Paul's desire. Where did it come from? Where it came from, his desire and his purpose, coming from the will of God, knowing that I have limited time. I don't know how long I'm going to be here. I'm going to show others the way, because if I'm taken out, it don't mean that the gospel is taken out. Right, right. So someone wants to bind me in chains. It don't matter, because we still have people getting the word out. So Paul wanted to take him on a journey, take him along. This is what discipleship is about. This is what mentorship is about. It's not just about talking, telling somebody what they should do. No, it's about taking them along on your journey so they can see it. So they can, I mean, it's just hard to do something that you don't see. You know, we look at people in the secular world, and, you know, oftentimes our people of color, you know, we don't see people in certain spaces, so we don't know how to get there ourselves. You can try to, read a book on it, but when you don't see it yourself, certain circumstances, how to deal with them, it can be tough. And when you don't visualize it, you can't visualize yourself in a certain space. You can't visualize someone like you doing something, a certain work, maybe God taking you by the hand and leading you somewhere. If you don't see it from somebody else, you're not going to be encouraged as much to do it yourself. So Paul understood this. So Paul took Timothy, that young man who was already spoken well of, on a journey. All right. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, 19-23, because we're going to realize that it's a two-way street. All right. So we're not only talking about the discipler, we're talking about the disciple as well. All right. So Philippians 2, 19-23, when Paul was writing to the church of Philippi, he says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. Genuine concern for your welfare. I wonder why Timothy was like that. You know, there was many apostles, so-called apostles in that day, all right, that Paul spoke about, even in when he was speaking to Corinth. You can look about at it in 2 Corinthians. He was talking about those false apostles, those people who were going around, all right? They did not genuinely care for people's souls, but they claimed that they were sent, and they were out there preaching a gospel, and they were enslaving many people from those messages that they were teaching. But no, Paul knew that, and he knew someone who was in his corner that he could trust. He says, this boy, Timothy, this young man, Timothy, I'm going to send him there. I don't have nobody like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. I believe he got that from Paul, because Paul, when you look at it, he was many times at the point of crying for these congregations. Just read it yourself. Read his letters. You will see that he was in tears for the congregations where he would leave and sometimes hear bad things about, like in Galatia. He said, man, I don't understand. I feel so bad. I'm not there with you. I wish I was there with you, because you are leaving the faith that I taught you. You are allowing people to come in and teach you other doctrines. So he felt bad. He felt genuine concern. He was willing to give up himself to the point. He even said it, even for his brothers who were not in the faith yet, his brothers according to the flesh. He said, man, I wish I even almost could take their place. That's how he felt, kind of like Jesus, right? Where he took his place for us. He took our place, traded places with us. We were deserving of the punishment, but he took our place so that we can be with him. Well, that's kind of how Paul, I guess he demonstrated that to Timothy. And Timothy saw that, and he took it upon himself. He had that same character in him, where he would show genuine concern and welfare for the people that Paul sent him through. So 21 says, for everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. That's a sad state of affairs when most people look out for themselves, right? It's not much different today. We have many, many people who may speak words of God, but they have ulterior motives. They're looking out for themselves. We got to be careful for that. That does not arise in our own heart. What do we get out of it, right? What do we get out of it? I got to take that person under my wing. Well, what do I get out of it? That's going to take time. That may take resources. That may even take some money. What am I going to get out of it? Genuine concern for the welfare of the believers. Verse 22 says, but you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. So again, Paul's referring to Timothy like a son in the gospel, right? That's how close of a relationship he had with him. He says, I hope therefore to send him. So he took him on his journeys. He trained him, but also, guess what? He sent him. So he trusted Timothy to the point. And this is, again, it's a two-way street, because Timothy had to do his part to want to be discipled, to want to be mentored. So those who are on this call today, those who are listening, understand your part and your place, that you are a disciple, but you also are a disciple. You are a mentor, but you also are a mentor. All right? So we have to have this in our heart. You can't be a good teacher if you're not a good student. It goes both ways. It's a two-way street. We just need to be always learning, always able to listen to someone who has something good to say, especially if they have genuine concern for our welfare. We may not like it sometimes. They may be telling us the word of God, but we may not like it from our hardened hearts. You know, we're all still growing. We're not in the same place at the same time in Christ. Some things are harder to hear at first, but hopefully we are maturing. But the mature Christians we're going to talk about need to do their part. And the more immature people need to do their part to listen to the mature. It is a two-way street. Have the heart of Timothy, where we are able to learn, pick up things like a sponge, and apply them to our lives. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about mentoring and kingdom style, because the world has a style of mentoring. That's not what I'm so much concerned about. That's not what I'm interested in, all right, with this lesson. Paul describes the powerful process of mentoring in 2 Timothy 2 and 2. This is where he talks about, and I'm just going to, you know, you can again take notes, make sure you go into it. I would say make sure you read 1 and 2 Timothy. Read the book of Titus, all right, because you also may not be a ordained minister, but guess what? We are all called again. We are all called again to be an example, right? And to lead someone to Christ. So Paul describes a process here. And he, just as he helped Timothy during the formative stage of his development, he challenged Timothy to mentor others who in turn could become mentors and keep the reproductive cycle going. So this is what it's about. It's about keeping that reproductive cycle going. We cannot act like we're going to be here forever, right? Whether you're in charge of a ministry, right? Whether God put something into your hands, a stewardship that you may feel like, okay, this is your place to do something. Well, guess what? There will be a time you need to already start looking at someone and taking them under your wing, challenging them, building them up, giving something to do so that they, again, you saw before, Timothy had proven himself. We need to give people a chance to prove themselves. It's not your ministry, all right? It's not your work, it's the work of the Lord. So whatever it may be, all right? When we're talking about kingdom, we're talking about showing others the way so that they can in turn show others the way and be teachers and mentors to others. So today we need to recover and maintain this pattern. Remember, it is a pattern. We're gonna talk about this word pattern, all right? It is a pattern. It should be a pattern for older believers. And I don't mean just physically, all right? Because we have some younger believers who we know are more mature mentally and spiritually than some of our older believers and vice versa, all right? But anyway, the more mature believers need to be working with the less mature ones, all right? And the less mature ones need to be honest with themselves and understand that they are less mature and take it, whether it's admonishment, all right, whether someone's trying to correct you, whether someone's trying to lead you a certain way, as long as it does not conflict with the word of God. You know, we have to continue to stay connected with that to know whether someone is telling us what we need to know. All right, but we need to be connected with that. That is mentoring kingdom style. Now we're going to talk about show and tell. All right, you know, that's one of my favorite things to do when I was a kid. Man, I couldn't wait when I kindergarten class or first grade or whatever. Show and tell, right? It's like, this is my time to show people what I'm about. All right, this is my time where I could bring in, you know, my toy dinosaurs. I was into Jurassic Park and I was into Power Rangers and I was into Ninja Turtles. I couldn't wait to bring some of those things, or my artwork. I couldn't wait to bring some of those things and show off, you know, and say, hey, This is this, right? This is how long I've been involved in this. And this is why I like this so much, because I could inspire others maybe to even like those same things, right? Maybe I could show them something and they say, oh, I like that too. So I love show and tell growing up, all right? But when we're talking about show and tell in this lesson, we're talking about your life. We're talking about showing, not just teaching. We're talking about, again, right? That pattern to be shown, not just told. 1 Timothy 1:16 tells us, but I obtained mercy for the reason that in me, as the foremost of sinners, you know, Paul felt he was humble. He knew what he had done before he came to Christ. He knew how he was trying his best, right, to put the church under the dirt. But he found out that you can't kick against Christ and win. But before that, he called himself the foremost of sinners. Jesus Christ, he said, yeah, he obtained mercy from Jesus Christ so that he might show forth and display all his perfect long suffering and patience for an example, that is for a pattern to encourage those who will thereafter believe on him, the gaining of eternal life. Now, this is from the Amplified Translation. So these, you know, just has some words there that kind of further explains what's being said. But either way, what we're seeing here is that Paul is saying Christ was making a pattern of Paul, saying so that people would see the example that Christ could take someone like this dude, the chief of sinners, the foremost of sinners, and make him into someone powerful in Christ's name, right? So no matter who you are, no matter how far from God you might have strayed, all right, Paul said, you probably weren't doing what I was doing, working to destroy the work that Christ was trying to do. And if God can do it with me, he's making that pattern and an example so you can be encouraged and see that he can do it with you. Again, that pattern. 2 Timothy 1:13, he also writes to Timothy, hold fast and follow the pattern of wholesome and sound teaching, which you have heard from me in all the faith and love which are for us in Christ Jesus. So again, he's telling Timothy to hold fast, hold tight, Follow that example. Follow that pattern. And that word is hupotopopsis, all right? That's the Greek word. It just means an outline, a sketch, an example. All right, so he's telling them, follow the sketch. I sketched it out nice for you, you know? I sketched it out nice. Follow that sketch. Hold fast to the words, the teaching that you have heard from me. So again, he saw the example, but he also heard something. Disciples, disciple, all right? Disciples, disciple. If you claim to be a disciple of the Lord, guess what? You are going to disciple others. It is just going to be something that happens. You just can't call yourself a disciple of Jesus and not be out there trying to mentor, teach, educate, show someone, even by your lifestyle, that way of Christ, because he commands us to do that. Paul told Timothy to do the same. He says, be an example. That means be a pattern in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. These are the things he told that young minister to watch out for. Make sure that you are an example. He's talking to us too. All right? Put your name right there. Be an example in speech. Be an example how you conduct yourself, how you love people, and in faith and in purity. I'm not going to get too far in that verse, but this Greek word is slightly different from the other word we just talked about, all right? This is typos, which means to strike repeatedly. Think about someone striking something repeatedly to the point that something that is being pounded on takes on that form, that imprint is left so that people can see. Almost like footsteps, all right? But when something is being repeatedly pounded in something to the point that the form, the imprint, whether you're punching on something so much that that form is imprinted so that others can see that form, well, that's what he's talking about here, all right? He's saying that by your example, by a pattern, something that's not one or two times, something that you continue to do, people will see that. And they can see the pattern, the imprint that's left, and they can mimic that. That's what he's talking about here. And he also says, uses that word in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. This is Young's literal translation. He says, become followers together of me, brethren, sisters, brothers and sisters, and observe. That means note. Take note of those who are walking according as I have, as you have us for a pattern. So again, a pattern. The Apostle Paul is telling them that we have shown you the life. We have shown you the work. We have shown you how to work with your own hands. We've shown you how to not be lazy, right? That's what he showed the Thessalonians. That's what he showed them. Don't be lazy. Work with your hand, right? Do something. Be useful. He showed them the conduct. He showed them the love. He showed them the faith. He showed them the pure lifestyle. It was a continual thing, not a one-time thing. So we have to be able to open up our lives some. I'm not one who don't like my life open that much. Not that I don't like, you know, not that I have stuff to hide. Just that I'm intrinsically a more private person. You're not going to see me all over Facebook and all over, you know, all these different platforms. You see me, you get to know me, that kind of thing, right? That's it. But even me, I got to get out that space sometimes because you want to do what is you can get most for the Lord, right? And you don't want to let your own self, your own natural personality get in the way because God can do things with you that you just don't know. We have to be willing to get out of that space to be a pattern so that we can show others the way. All right, I'm getting somewhere. Let's see. All right, so the model. All right, we getting all along. All right, so this is what we're going to focus on, the model to be taught, not just caught. All right. The model to be taught, not just caught, but also the model to be caught, not just taught. So what do I mean? Well, let's read and we'll explain, all right? So this is our earlier passage. And again, this is the Amplified translation that you see here. It says, now you have closely observed or diligently followed my teaching, my conduct, my purpose in life, my faith, my patience, my love, and my steadfastness, even my persecutions and my sufferings. Such has occurred to me at Antioch. Look at this. I told you that those underlined places, Iconium and Lystra. Persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Indeed, all who delight in piety and are determined to live a devoted and godly life in Christ Jesus will meet with persecution. That means you'll be made to suffer because of your righteous, your religious, your stand. So that place, Iconium and Lystra, where he says that you have followed, you have closely observed, or at least you have diligently investigated what had happened to me. Now, these things that he's talking about, these sufferings that happened to Paul in Iconium and Lystra, this was earlier on. This was earlier on. I mean, this was before even Timothy was really going along with him. So he heard, though, about it because, again, he was in that area. He was in the area. That's where he was from. So that's why Paul said, you have heard about my life. You have closely observed. You have diligently followed it. You have investigated thoroughly my teaching. He could look at what Paul was teaching. He saw that he was teaching sound words, but he also saw his conduct. Again, did you catch that? Did you catch my life? That's what we ought to be giving off, right? Not just do what I say, but it's a beautiful thing when you can say, you know, a lot of people say it. They've said, hey, man, I'm not saying that I'm a good example. I'm not saying that follow me. I'm not saying that. Listen, don't be like me. That's what you hear most of the time, right? Don't be like me. Learn from me. Learn from my mistakes. All right, that's cool. But isn't it good to hear sometimes, hey, do as I do, right? I've set a good example, so following that, I'm not perfect, but following me, that's a good thing to hear. We just don't hear it too often, right? So we got to take that seriously where we live a life so that we can show somebody, not just, hey, man, learn from my mistakes. Don't be like me. I don't want you to be much better than me. Listen, we all want others to be much better than us if they're coming up after us, if we're mentoring them and disciple us. But we ought to be able to be an example in conduct. Also, purpose in life. This is a big one. Purpose in life. He observed through Paul's life, through his teaching, how his walk matched his talk, how his audio matched his video. His purpose in life. Christians, if you don't know your purpose in life is to give honor and glory to God, if you don't know your purpose in life is that no matter what happens to the left or to the right of you, that you are to glorify God with your life in sickness or in health, in the good times or the bad times, that is your purpose. So no matter what you do, at least get the main thing right, your purpose in life. Understand that, all right? He demonstrated also his faith, his patience. Now, I mean, he saw his faith because even when he knew he was going into places that might was going to cause him harm, you know, you're going to go teach in that place, man, they are out for you there, you know. But Paul had that spirit like Peter. I mean, look, man, if they are out to hurt me, it is what it is. Now, I'm not like that yet, where I'm just gonna volunteer, you know, myself going to a place where I know they out to find me and you know, persecute me. But man, you know, at least he saw that in him, where he could be bold in that too, and like, man, he gotta have faith. He's gotta know what he's talking about because he's living like it is what it is. I'm living fearlessly in my faith. He also saw his patience, that we have to be patient with people. That, you know, our example may not come off the first time to people. Again, that's why it has to be a pattern, a constant striking in your life so that people can see the imprint, not just the one or two time thing. So you got to be patient with people. And also the mentoree has to be patient with those who are mentoring them, discipling them in the love. We know this is a very important, that love, because We all can talk a good game, but when someone cut us off in, you know, in the street, or when someone calls us something, you know, talk about our mama or whatever, listen, we can't be just like everybody else. That's just not the example that we can be. We have to show ourselves different. We have to love when someone's offering hate. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't defend yourself. I'm not saying don't speak the truth. I'm not saying don't stop people who are trying to persecute you, try to stop it, yes. But do it in love so that hopefully they won't be your enemies anymore. Hopefully they will see that you care about them, even when they don't care about you. And that will mess with their heart. That will mess with their conscience. And that will turn them to say, man, you know what? Why am I doing this to them? Why do I hate this person so much? They give me nothing but love. And hopefully that will turn them, That's what Christ did for us. The steadfastness, that's something that we also have to see. It's got to be closely observed. Steadfastness, where you don't give up, where you have some fight in you. Listen, Christianity, I've said it before, is not for the weak. It's not for the light of heart. This is not, no, no. People say, you know, if you're scared, go to church. No, it's the opposite. It's the opposite, really, because when you are a Christian, when you are really about that life, challenge after challenge will come your way. And we can't be like the world and give up easy. We can't be like the world and just put our hope in other drugs and alcohol, try to get away from it all. No, no, we need to face our problems in Christ Jesus. We need to find ways that Christ has placed already in the words of God, to lean on the comfort of the Holy Spirit, to lean on the words of the Holy Spirit to guide us so that we don't just take the easy way out. We know that. Jesus already said it, right? Take the narrow way. Oh, it's hard to go the narrow way. It's hard to get in the crevices of the narrow way. But the world, the way that leads to destruction, you can get in all kinds of way. You don't have to conform to nothing. That steadfastness, we need it. We need it. We need that patience. We need that diligence, especially when we're going against persecutions and sufferings. We're all going to go through it. That's why we see he did go through those persecutions, but he endured because the Lord delivered him. In verse 12, indeed, he says all. I put that in bold because I don't care who you are. If you're listening to these words, guess what? You are included. If you delight in piety, if you delight in trying to live a godly life, if you are determined to live a devoted life for the Christ, you will meet suffering. You will meet persecution. You will come against even yourself sometimes because inner battles, inner struggles, you know you ought to do this, but you're not doing it. You ought to not be doing this, but you're doing it. That inner struggle, even if it's not outside of yourself, guess what? You are going to have to endure suffering if you are determined to live a godly life. So don't be, you know, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening to me. Understand. You know, people say cleanliness is next to godliness. We need to just say, guess what? Some suffering is next to godliness. Because as you're trying to live godly, you are going to suffer some things. But thank God that Christ already did it first. He showed us the example, and his apostles did it the same. So that we don't, you know, get left unguarded. So that we don't have our dukes down and we're, you know, getting punched in the face without knowing what's happening. No, we always have our dukes up. We're always fighting the good fight. We always know the challenges are going to come our way. But we meet those challenges with the power that Christ gives us. So the model to be taught, the model to be caught, we can also do this. We can be mentors. We can be mentorees. We can follow the pattern that was left for us because they tried hard to give us a pattern. They tried hard to give us constant word and admonishment. We just have to look at it in the word of God. We have to see it also in each other's lives. Encourage one another, build one another up. And look at these things that Paul said that Timothy was able to closely observe in his life. And let's make sure that we are striving. Again, we ain't gonna be perfect, but God knows our heart. We are striving to put these things in practice and set a pattern for the world to see, so that even by our works, they have nothing evil to say about us. Listen, that message is yours. Hopefully it's clear as day. The model, the pattern, the example. That's what it's about. And God has given it to us. We ought to give it to someone else. Let us practice it and let us continue to live for the glory of God. That is our purpose in this life. And again, I'm going to end it just as it was started. We don't know when it's our time to go. Be in love with Christ. Be in fellowship with the Lord. And when you're doing that, all these things will come more naturally. So if you are not a child of God, you know, you have to understand that, yes, there is a way to go. You have not been going that way. Yes, you are an enemy of the cross. But thank God, Jesus came and died for you. He died for you. He didn't just die for me or everybody else on the call. No, he died for you. Personally, he was thinking of you when he died in hopes that you will come to him one day before it's everlasting too late. Today is your day, not a better day. Do it today. Come to the Lord. How do you do it? Well, you heard the gospel that Jesus Christ died for your sins. You have to come believing that he is the Savior, that he is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, that he is the Son of God. Not just a child of God, like we call ourselves children of God. No, he is the Son of God, like no other, unique. God, all God, and all man in one, came to save you from your sins. You have to believe that with all your heart. You have to repent of your sins. That means you turn from your own way to his way. You call him Lord, but you also live like he's Lord. That is what repentance is about. It's a change of heart. You also need to confess, be able to confess him before men, because he says, if you don't confess him before them, I will not confess you before my Father. Confess his name before witnesses. And you have to also be willing to go into the watery grave of baptism. Yes, be baptized. That means where you are submerged, you are immersed with water. It is a burial. Your old self goes into the ground, so to speak. Your old self goes into the ground, the watery graves of baptism. All your sins washed away. You come up anew. Don't mean that you are totally new in everything, in every way. You're still going to have some thoughts in your head, but guess what? God is going to work with you. You are given the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, where you can walk with Christ everlastingly. All your sins forgiven. You have a brand new slate, clean slate. You can do that today if you have not done it before. Do it today, because you just don't know when it's your time to go. If you are already in Christ, be an example. Maybe you haven't been doing too well of being an example. Maybe you have not been patterning your life after Christ and his apostles. Well, he's encouraging you just like he encouraged Timothy. Observe and follow. Observe and follow. Get back on the right track today. He is offering you this time to do it. Whatever your need may be, come to Christ. Be with him, because he is always doing his best to have his hands open so that you come to him. Whatever your need may be, come to him today. Give it over back to the hands of the ministers.